Good evening, everybody. Hopefully you can hear me. Maybe not. Hello. Hey, Jack, can you give me a thumbs up if you can hear me?
Did you say something there, Alex?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, mate.
Perfect. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the DN35 podcast / audio fishcake / club call that we stole from Stockport County's podcast / Twitter space, whatever you want to call it. Good evening. I hope you're all having a pleasant day, enjoying the longer evenings, because there isn't much more to crow about, is there? This is your chance, hopefully, to have a chat, put your thoughts forward, your opportunity. Now, we haven't really decided on a name yet because we've never really done many of these. We do them once every couple of months, and hopefully it's a chance for you to have your say and listen to what other people's opinions are, aside from Mike, Sam, Bruce, Hannah, Richards, and myself. I hope I didn't miss anybody else out on Sam. It's great to have you along. If you want to have a chat, please do, request it. More than welcome to. It's your platform. You don't really want to be hearing from me and Sam, who has kindly joined me. Mike is in Grimsby, believe it or not, experiencing the wonders of a Lincolnshire connectivity for phone signals, so will most likely not be joining us. But if you want to have your say, please do so. If you're listening to this, as we'll send it out as a podcast, then come on Twitter every now and then. When we do them, we will release it on YouTube and we'll hopefully put it out as a podcast as well. So I really want to pass it over to you guys. Sam, I'll let you have a chat in a second, but once again, Town find themselves precariously perched above the horrors that is the League Two relegation zone. Are we going to make it a hat-trick of relegations? Which one of you would like to keep that match ball is another question that I probably want to ask of you. And what do you think is going to happen? Rumours abound this afternoon that Grimsby Town don't have a fit goalkeeper either. Harvey Cartwright obviously having hamstring problems against Bradford. Jake Eastwood stepping into the brink. And rumours are he's not very well either. I've not had that confirmed. I'm just reading what's on the fishy. If we do need a new keeper, who do we get? We can't have Steve Crowsden unless he wants to pay the PFA all his money back due to his injuries. Do we really want to be seeing a 40-year-old rejig his shoulder after it dislocates itself every time he makes a save? I don't know. But it's up to you. Sam, how are you?
I'm decent, thanks, mate. I've had 2 days without football, haven't we? It's been great, even though we have been back at work.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go, isn't it? And we, live. Kyle Talbot says it's quads for Harvey.
I heard calf. Someone told me a grade one calf tear.
Look, his legs don't work.
That'll do.
His legs don't work. Is that helpful? I don't know what else we can say about it. But we'd like to hear from you guys as well. So please do jump on, throw your opinions out. How are you feeling? I've got to be honest. I'm not particularly positive. Sam and Mike, I think, are a little bit more positive than I. But, I'm already Googling Weymouth. How are you all doing?
On the subject of Mike, he's been kind of sending us photos, haven't he? Like he's a tourist in North East Lincolnshire. Oh, look, I've stuck the V's up at Papa's. I've gone past the cricket club. I've done all this. It's like he's on holiday, isn't it? Which tells its own story. Hello.
I've just let Mike join, so I didn't know if he wanted to defend himself.
It's like the person that's bitching about somebody and the person walks in the room there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on, defend yourself.
Well, I've got no defence, mate, but
Oh, that's a very a cutting remark on the club's challenges.
Fundamentally, I'm a tourist, so comfort day.
So what have you taken pictures of? What are you doing tomorrow? What have you done today?
Well, at the minute, I'm trying not to get run over, but now we've been down the seafront again today. It's still there.
Where are you right now?
I'm walking down a rather dodgy part of Thorpe Park to get a signal. So
there we go. Mike is in Thorpe Park at the moment, so if anybody wants to beep at him or kidnap him, then you're more than welcome to. Are you going down to the beach? Are you going down to the yacht club?
No, it's Sam that goes to yacht clubs, not me, mate.
No, it's a nice part of the beach. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah, it's over here.
Yeah. I've never been to Cleethorpes Yacht Club. This is another smear campaign.
I don't know about that. Look, I don't think anyone wants to hear us warble on. So I can see quite a few contributors to the pod joining us. You know, click the request button. We want you to come on and have your say on how things are. Here's the question. And you can start this off.
Dog shit, just let you know.
Wonderful. Brilliant. Are we staying up? That's the question I want to ask you. As Town fans, do you think we have it in us, or has Monday given you something to reflect on? That's what I want to know from you all. So please do, you know, come in, tell us that part and why you think we'll stay up or why you think we'll go down. And if we need a new goalkeeper, who are you suggesting? Are we getting Dean Henderson to give David De Gea a call? Are we getting Wayne Henderson back after his heroics? Is James McEwen going to be brought out like a WWE wrestler at WrestleMania for one last go? It'll be great to hear from you all.
I do have a bit of admin. It was brought to my attention this week by somebody who shall remain nameless that Sam follows Astrid Wett.
I didn't know that was a thing. Does he really?
Oh, I'm going to unfollow that now.
Hang on.
I've been saving that for a week.
So, Sam, let's have a quick look. How can I check his followers? I'll tell you again, though.
You'll have to scroll through them all, mate. It should take you some time with all my followers.
Bruce on this GTFC day doesn't still follow the pod.
He doesn't follow me either, so I won't take it personally.
He doesn't follow the podcast he's on.
While you're doing that, I'll stick my neck on the line. I think we will. I'll nail my knickers to the mast. I think we will stay up.
Ben, come on and talk to us about it. I feel like Humberside on a football forum here. Please come on and talk. We don't want to just hear a load of Hull City fans going, oh God, I hate being in the promotion spots of the Championship.
Yeah, Rossini out, we're only ninth. Yeah.
A bit of news. We have been coldly overlooked for March's Player of the Year, Player of the Month, Goal of the Month and Manager of the Month. Once again, being overlooked for our great work.
You mean serious?
Not really.
Oh shit.
Ben says if we go down, it might be the most embarrassing League Two relegation going. Ben, I certainly think it's the worst of the three, because the 2009-2010 team to me are the worst team. They are awful, but we haven't even reached their league total points yet. And they weren't getting paid half as much as what these guys are doing. And they don't have the coaching team available to them. They don't have the support available to them, the facilities. They don't have, you know, hotel stays after a couple of hours outside of town. You know, they were terrible, but they were on a shoestring budget.
And also, as far as I'm aware, I don't think Harvey Rogers and Curtis Thompson spend all the time in the Laceby Arms either. So what's their excuse?
It's shut. You can't even go in the Laceby Arms now.
Yeah. Eating the heads off prawns, whatever they were doing, by all accounts, allegedly.
Do you want me to tell you where I am? Not physically.
Sounds like you're in Bird World in Hampshire.
So, I think... Right, hear me out. I don't think you get relegated by accident. So, if we do get relegated, that's an obvious problem. However, my sort of thinking at the minute is I've tried to make a conscious decision not to think about it until or unless it happens. I think we've got, five games left now, six games. I think the most important thing from for all of us is to hope and try and get behind the team to avoid that, because it would be an absolute travesty. There's, you know, look, in the summer, there's going to be plenty of time to pull things apart, pull people apart, you know, have a bitch and a moan about things, because we shouldn't be in this situation, but we are. So from my point of view, I'm still quite optimistic we'll manage to do it. We're in more of a problem than we were a couple of weeks ago. I just can't see Sutton maintaining that form against the teams they've got. Now, if they do, good luck to them, you know, but it's a team that was bottom of League Two until a couple of weeks ago. We're asking them to perform, you know, champion winning running. So I'm still quite positive, but we're not here by accidents. There is reasons and what have you that need to be looked into. But I think from Anne's point of view, we've got to sort of focus on the next six games, hope we stay up and then do that.
Yeah, just to sort of build on that, if you kind of... So what is it? Forest Green. Sutton had won five games all season until the middle of March, and then all of a sudden won four games on the spin. Yeah, and they've won four pretty winnable games, and now the running's getting a lot tougher. You'd be surprised if that maintained. You certainly don't get relegated out of this league by accident with two relegation spots. I just think that they're going to run out of games. Forest Green aren't good enough, and we've got enough wriggle room and enough time left to kind of scramble together enough points. I mean, I suspect, actually, I'd say that if we then don't win on Saturday and Sutton do, that kind of calculation may change. We've got to stop drawing. We've got to keep winning. We've got to start winning. I mean, we've lost the ability to score more than one goal, and we're not very resolute defensively. We're always one mistake. We basically always feel you're one instant away from a mistake, and that invariably leads to a goal with us this season. On the keeper situation, Alex, you asked about that. Do you not? This is probably my cynical brain working. This is a bit of skullduggery at play, because I think the rules state we can't get an emergency loan in if it's Cartwright injured because of he's a loan keeper. I think that's the rule there. So we've kind of sort of suggested to Jake Eastwood that he kind of his quad might be feeling, or quad or calf might be feeling a bit tight, to kind of engineer an emergency loan there. Just sticking it out there. Might be complete rubbish. Might be kind of my overly cynical brain going into overdrive.
I've now got this image of escape to victory, where Jake Eastwood is having to put his arm over the bunk bed to break it so that we can bring a ringer in. And I mean, that's dedication.
Is Pele coming? Pardon? Is Pele coming?
That would be a story in itself.
On any number of levels.
We're just realising we can't put anyone else in goal. Are we getting Sean Pearson in goal? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, initially, my initial thoughts when I saw this on Twitter, on WhatsApp today was, yeah, of course he is. Of course he's injured. It'd be an interesting one. I'd have thought if he is injured, there should be a wealth of goalkeepers that would be interested in a short spell playing football. You know, we're near the summer transfer window. There'll be quite a few players in the Championship, League One, that want to put themselves in a window and got a decent pedigree. I mean, I'd be surprised if our first call wasn't to Hull City, because Ingram's not been playing, has he?
Have you got anyone else?
And they've got a couple of keepers, so. But, you know, it's close to the end of the season. If you've not been playing as a goalkeeper, you know, you think, right, 2 weeks, you know, I can go and play a couple of games in 2 weeks in games that mean something, put myself in a shop window, and I go from being a third choice at a Championship team that is going to get some dregs, or, you know, going to be limited for offers, or I put myself in that shop window and I get some biters in the summer and get some first team football and a bigger move. So to me, I would be quite optimistic we'll probably be able to get somebody decent-ish.
I'm hoping we get somebody on to give their thoughts as well. I'm just having a look. Right, I'm trying to think positively. We've only lost to teams in the playoffs since the end of February. Is that a positive?
And we've taken points off sides around us. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, that was what I said on Friday. We lost a second and fifth, or whatever it was. It's kind of people were massively overreacting on the back of Friday, I thought. But
Yeah, Friday I'm fine with. Monday, it's still annoying me because I think it felt very similar to the draw at their place where we had it in the bag. We were the better team. And once again, the manager didn't make changes when they were needed and we were too cowardly in the way we played. We didn't bring Vernon on, who I think is, you know, there are people really critical of Vernon, but every time I've seen him, which is every game, I've been absolutely fine with him. I don't think he's had a poor game, in my opinion. And I think in the last couple of weeks when he's come on, he has made an impression and has given teams things to worry about. And I think if he'd have come on against Bradford, I don't think we'd have necessarily lost because they wouldn't have been piling men forward as much as they were.
No, I thought that's on the back of Monday, actually. So on Friday, I remember you on the podcast after the Bradford game away, we sort of, apart from me, everyone basically got stuck into Hursty for not making any substitution on a really hot day. If Hurst had made only one substitution on which effectively it was just one substitution on Monday, he'd have got absolutely slaughtered for that. But Artel didn't get any kind of, there was no kind of scrutiny on the back of that for him. But I'd have brought on Abu. I thought Abu can make something happen. He's long periods of sort of rubbishness, but he can make stuff happen, especially against his former club and similar sort of thing to Vernon. Inconsistent, but he certainly would give him then something to think about, which is kind of the point you were making.
I mean, our midfield looked a bit knackered, sort of 80 minutes in. And what I was saying to the person next to me was, you know, I'd like to see somebody who come in, and their number five, who was a bit slow, their centre-back, who was on a yellow card, and just work the channels and just run them a bit because they didn't look like they could cope with a bit of pace in behind them. And I think that's what we were missing. So sometimes your attack is the best form of defence. You know, if you get somebody in, put the ball in the channel, stretch them and get that second goal. I thought they were there for the taking. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get the second goal we probably deserved. But, yeah, definitely we looked a bit weak in midfield from the 80th minute onwards.
Is that the thing behind you?
There's a boat going around on a fucking scooter. Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was like 45. He's on a scooter. Jesus Christ!
You say he deserved, but we didn't create any chance. I mean, we scored from a half chance, basically, didn't we? A deflected half chance. I can't remember us kind of crafting out anything else, really.
Nah, it's a thunderbolt, mate. What are you on about? It's a thunderbolt. Played it.
You had a great view of it. You're right behind it.
I was right behind it. I think in snooker they call it a cannon, don't they? That's what it was. Yeah. Played the angles.
Yeah, beautiful. Anyway, I sort of the idea. I don't really think we can complain much on the back of Monday, really. But yeah, we're just doomed ever to beat them. What's that? 27 years and 21 meetings now without beating Bradford.
25. The fact that
1999 we last beat them. Oh, it's not
something like that.
It's before I was born. Anyway.
Can I mute him? Yeah, well, we can talk about this stuff till the cows come home. We kind of really want everybody else's. Anybody who wants to come on, please do let us know. I haven't had any requests yet, which is making me feel very sad. But there are at least 80 of you on, apparently. That doesn't look right. So please do put your head above the parapet. We want to hear what you have to say about everything. Are we being too negative? Are we being too positive? Are you looking at Weymouth away or are you looking at who's coming down from League One, gents? I can't think.
Carlisle, Fleetwood, Cheltenham and who's the other one? Carlisle, Port Vale are the four teams currently. I mean, that's a rubbish, isn't it, for anybody?
There we go. Are you planning Port Vale away? That's what I want to know. Come on and have a chat. If not, we'll just sit here in silence.
Look, I'll be honest, I get why people are negative and worried, you know. We've been here before too many times, we're here again, and that's...
Patrick Ball.
From my point of view, though, when you look at it from after that Donny game, we've lost twice in the league since then to two really good teams, one of them away and one of them that's spending ridiculous amounts of money. So whilst I'd have liked to have picked some more points up on Monday, my opinion doesn't change too much just because we've conceded a late penalty and other teams have won. I still think this team's got enough in it. I think it can easily get two wins, easily, and then you're asking Sutton to only lose one game, really, effectively. So I get the negativity, and I get why people are, you know, where they are. I just fundamentally think we've probably still got enough. Whether that's acceptable or not is another matter. It shouldn't be acceptable, but I think we
Mike,
do.
Win percentage of 18%. Mike Newell's was 25%.
Yeah, I see that, and I'll be honest, mate. If we stay up, I don't really care. Okay. You know, if we go down, I do. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we stay up, we can
You've
have the post-mortem.
You know,
we can see what's gone.
People are getting drunk.
Don't worry. If we stay up, I don't care. I nearly said you know again. So if we stay up, I don't care. We can have that conversation this summer, and we can see what's happened and move on from there. If we go down, then obviously that's an issue. But for me, at the minute, the most important thing is staying in the Football League, and I don't care if we do that with an 18% win rate or a 30% win rate. Just stay in the Football League first and foremost, and then move from there.
There we go.
You know.
Let's have a look. Are there any people that are usually keen to jump on? Let's have a look. I don't think there is.
Just pick on them, mate. Just pick on them, shall I?
Okay, how many lines down should I go? And then, Sam, you've got to tell me how many lines I should go down. And then, Mike, you've got to give me a number 1, 2, 3, or 4. Audience participation, baby.
4.
And then, Mike, how many across from left to right? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, I don't know. 2, 1.
I'm going to give it's Paul Bevan. I'm going to invite to speak. While he's doing that, Jordan has asked. So let's get Jordan on. Add a speaker. There we go. Thank you, Jordan. You are, you know, the first to put their head above the parapet. How are you feeling? Terrified, apparently.
Stunned him into silence there, Alex. Great work.
I was muted. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're perfect, mate.
Nice one. I think drained is probably the word. You know, it's been a tough season. No disputing that. In terms of what you say in regards to this, if we're going to survive, I think we will. But at this point,
just me that can't hear it.
Is it, no?
Yeah, it's just you, Mike.
I was wondering that. But yeah, at this point, like Mike, I just think it's just.
I can't hear either.
I can hear you, Jordan. Keep going. Ignore them.
I think it's just a case of we've just got to try and survive by hook or by crook. Whether the by crook bit can be true to form, I mean, who knows? I think you look at it with the games we've got left and compared to the others. On paper, you could probably say we've got the easiest run in. But whether we can grind out some results like we have. I mean, we have done. I mean, the six games before, obviously the three that took place, you know, it proved that we can get points. Obviously the lack of maybe a couple more goals in games is the problem. And I think, you know, when we do drop points, I think most of the time we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. And I think I think Monday is a great example of that. But I think I don't care at this point. Just survive and just draw a line under season. There'll obviously be questions asked, and rightly so. It's a complete failure, but it'll be more interesting with that question compared to the questions that I'll ask if we do go down, because there'll be much tougher questions, and rightly so.
What do you think's gone wrong, Jordan?
To be honest, I think you can maybe pinpoint quite a few reasons as well. We've talked about, I think, like I said, shooting ourselves in the foot in important moments in games in which has cost us points. Defensively at times as well, we've been not great, better slightly recently before that, but on the whole, it's been great as well. I don't think a few of those players I say haven't been good at the pad. I don't think it's for the lack of maybe trying for maybe one or for a few. But I just don't think some of them are completely up to it. I'll be honest. I was obviously too young to remember 9, 10, and thankfully so. but I do get some resemblance for the second time we went down at times. I do think this squad's slightly better, arguably. You can maybe make a case for that, but I don't know. I think a couple of managers have done it. Hurst has obviously gone. Artel has not really done much better, I'll be honest. I personally struggle to warm to him, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. But I think if we survive, I certainly want to hopefully try and give him the benefit and see where we get on. If we go down, I mean, that's just a different question. But I think you can just pinpoint a lot of stuff, really. I think the goalkeeper situation, I think we've got wrong. I know they're both injured from the sounds of things at the minute, but I think we've got that horribly wrong in the summer. I don't know. It feels different to, obviously, last time, because obviously you feel like we're better run now. You know, there's more of a plan in place. You know, we're not that basket case club that maybe we were back then. But I don't know. It's been, I think it's hard to really pinpoint one particular thing, if I'm going to be honest.
I think that's fair. Mike, do you want to have a quick guess before we move on to Paul on... when was the last time Danny Rose scored?
Do you think it's a case?
God, Morecambe, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. 24th of Feb.
Yeah,
that's
go.
One. Anything on that one?
Jordan, do you think it's a case we just don't know what we are? You know, we started a season under Paul Hurst trying to play an attractive brand of football that maybe he wasn't sorted to. We then brought Artel in to do that with players that aren't suited to it, and it's just taken us far too long to actually identify who we are and how we want to play, and do we have the players for it?
Possibly. I think Paul Hurst tried to do something different with probably the more budget that compared to what he had in previous seasons, and try to maybe experiment in a different way to maybe what he'd know, but sort of try to stick to those same principles. I don't think that's come off, if I'm going to be honest. I think it was clear to see. I think I start to see the warning signs around the time of his dismissal. I could properly see the warning signs. It was poor before then. I think the time was right for Paul. I'll be the first to say that I agreed with the decision to part ways with him, as much as I hated it, because let's be honest, he's been, well, by far and away the most successful manager I've seen in my lifetime, and probably what a few other people have as well. So I think the change wouldn't have helped. Artel obviously came in with, I think, his own style, his own ideas, and has tried to do maybe too much too soon. I personally think that anyway. And sometimes it's worked, and when it has worked, it's looked pretty good. But also when it hasn't worked, it's absolutely stank, personally, I feel. I just think I do think there's a sense of there's too many ideas for these players these players have been given, and maybe they've not been able to. I don't know if that's the fault on the manager or the boys' part, but I don't think it's communicated to them very well. And I think it's shown on the pitch at times as well. And since we've sort of gone back to basics at times as well, you can see that there has been some improvements. We've obviously suffered in other areas as well. It's difficult to say, but I personally think that certainly plays a factor.
I think you're bang on. And something that struck me from when we chatted to Artel was he used the word information, like you just have, about giving too much information. And I think I said to Alex or Sam this week that it strikes me that maybe with the, you know, in hindsight's a wonderful thing, we're all great with hindsight, that we've got out of the National League and we've tried to run before we walked a little bit. We've had that one season where we've cemented ourselves back in the Football League, and then maybe a bit too much change all at one time. But again, I'd say that's, you know, it's all good sitting here with hindsight saying that.
Yeah, of course.
I think we'd all have wanted to do the same thing last summer because the football wasn't great last year and the goals for wasn't. So I can't really blame them too much, but that's how I see it anyway.
Yeah.
Jordan, thank you so much for being the first person to head up, put your head above the parapet. I know Sam is the, you know, the Jeremy Paxman of the pod, so you know, good to keep him quiet on it and wait for him to bite back, really. Paul, you were kind enough to play the game and were, you know, press ganged into doing it. How are you finding the season and what have your thoughts been so far?
First of all, evening all. I think one of the biggest mistakes we've made this year was not signing an experienced keeper. I mean, I know young Harvey does well and I know local lad and it's all good, but one of the key areas for me and why the defence has looked so shaky, we've not had that big commanding old head behind him, and that's shown in so many games this year. You know what I mean? We've slated the defence certain games, centre-halves and full-backs, but I mean, I sit in the lower and some of the communications we get from a keeper to a back four is shocking. And I do think as well, we have got the players to score goals, but we just don't seem to let the leash off, you know what I mean? And just actually go at players. I mean, the majority of people who's watched Easter play against us, he's tore us apart when he was at Scunny and stuff like that. And something's not right, is it? You know what I mean? Within the club, as if we're too negative. But I do think the biggest mistake we made was not getting that big commanding goalkeeper or old head just to sort of command his back four and help us that way. Because I do think a lot of the problems we've had with the defence this year has been that level of comms between the goalie and the back four. And I think it's been clear in a lot of games, no matter way what we've been to.
I think you're bang on there, Paul. I mean, first half of the season, one of our biggest problems was holding on to points and getting clean sheets and what have you. And that ordinarily comes from, you know, the defending players, but also that keeper giving them a bit of confidence. And I think Harvey Cartwright has improved this year. I've seen him in all those trips down to London where we got those draws, and I think he's a different and a better player than he was.
I agree.
But we've spent half a season helping him develop, and he's sort of getting there. But we've lost half a season doing that. You know, you go back to pre-December and pre-Artel, issue was confidence with the back four. And one of the big things about the confidence in the back four, it mainly comes from a goalkeeper, doesn't it? So I think you bang on there, mate.
I'm still really apprehensive on whether we're going to stay up this year. But I've supported Tabs since I was 5 years old. I'm 53 this year. So it's that's just the way it is. You know what I mean? Supporting them. And I'm sick of boring my lad who's on there listening tonight saying how good we used to be under the old Buckley days and even before that. You know what I mean? George Kerr and all the good stuff from then. So I'm not going to say it because I'll get slated by him later on. But you know what I mean?
Watching how we've played since I've supported Town, I don't think I'll get to 53, mate.
Paul, do you remember that? I remember under Buckley, the whinging and the moaning that used to be. It used to be like, Buckley only ever passes crab football, like side to side. We don't go up.
That's right, yeah.
You know, he doesn't really know what he's got with it. And, you know, we definitely
tried to pass the ball in the net. All the good stuff, what you're saying, all got said. But
yeah,
you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, none of the current probably squads from the last two or three seasons would even get anywhere near any of the Buckley teams, would they?
No. I think you're absolutely right. You know, I can't even think of anyone. Who was the worst lone player we had in the? I'm trying to think from the 90s onwards. You know, I don't even know.
Going back to commanding goalkeeper, is what we said when we brought Besant in. I know it's a long time ago. We were struggling goalkeeper, and he just changed the game, didn't he? Just that old head controlling things, and that's what we've missed. And I'm sure we could have got an experienced keeper in.
Do you think we can get Ben Foster in? At least we'll get on a podcast and a little bit of a YouTube video.
Maybe.
Well, you can't because the window to sign free agents is closed.
Is it? Well, even in the emergency, it has to be an emergency loan player, does it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You know, I'm going purely on Football Manager here, so, you know, source material and what have you, but I'm pretty sure the window's closed. But in terms of a goalkeeper, I think a more experienced goalkeeper, and it isn't Harvey Cartwright's
fault, no, it's
don't
not.
Get me wrong.
It's
But I think an experienced goalkeeper gets you 4 or 5 more points this season.
Yeah, totally.
And if we had what we would give for 4 or 5 more points so far this season, we'd rip your hand off, wouldn't we?
Oh, we would, yeah.
And Paul, do you reckon that fans will stay around? Will we have this if the dreaded happens? Do you think attendances will stay relatively similar to what they are now, or do you think it'll be a bit back to, you know, pre-takeover days?
look, we all support Town. We've all moaned when we've lost, we've got hammered, we've all supported when we've done well, but we still keep going, don't we? You know what I mean? So everyone said we was going to lose a load of fans this season. Didn't happen. All right, we had the cup run, but we'll still have the minimum of 4,000 or 5,000 hardcore, I'm sure, no matter what league we're in next season. It's just what we do, isn't it?
Got Nat.
Yeah.
Now else to do on a Saturday?
I think you lose some just by the nature of where you're playing. You're losing that feel-good factor, aren't you? But, I mean, they'll still be us here, you know, on a Wednesday night. They're on Twitter talking about Town. We'll still all be here, but we may lose a few off the gates from those that got on board with the takeover and the promotion and the FA Cup. Don't get me wrong, it'd be absolutely devastating for progression. It's not the end of the world, you know. We've come back before, we could do it again, but just in terms of that momentum that the new ownership brought in, that promotion, which was crazy, and then that FA Cup run, you get relegated, it doesn't bear thinking about. It pretty much is all gone. All of that good work is all gone.
Right.
Paul, do you reckon we stay up?
I hope so. I really do hope so. It's about these last two home games. Win them, I think we stay up. Simple. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. Newport's a big in, isn't it?
It is, mate.
Thank you so much, mate. Pete, I can see you here, the man with the, you know, the half-time highlights. How's
everything? Here he is.
How you doing, boys? All right?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank. I think the most surprising thing I'll hear tonight is your previous caller, Bever, will know. He's only 53, because he looks a lot older than that when I see him on a match day, that's for sure.
Thanks, Pete.
Watching Town ages us, and he might have done and if you do a paper round in the East March, it certainly does as well.
I think one of the things that I understand what Bev's just said there about the keeper, but I think young Cartwright has received some criticism early on. And I think that's squarely on Artel. I think when he first came to the club, there was this insistence that we play from the back, and that included Harvey. You know, it was almost as if every time he received the ball, he did not want him kicking from hands. He did not want it knocking it long, and everything had to go short. And I think that at the start of Artel's reign, put some doubt in his mind. The lad obviously wasn't comfortable with it. And you know, that initial run of games after MK Dons, when he insisted on us playing, I don't know how long it was for, what was it, 5 or 6, to the Donny game, and we changed it, was squarely down to him sort of persisting with a system that every fan could clearly see wasn't working. Now, whether that cost us points, who knows? But what it certainly did, some of the manner of the defeats that we were getting, it's almost, and even now, you know, there's times when we getting beat again now, and after the run of 6 unbeaten games, we seem to be out of games in 20 minutes. That's the frightening thing. You know, it's not that we're 1-0 down and, you know, in the 90th minute, we're trying to come back. It's been when we've been beat, we've been well beaten. And that's what needs to stop. Even on Saturday, you know, I thought we were unfortunate to concede, you know, against Bradford. It was a penalty, you know, when these things happen, but they only happen to teams that's at the bottom. When you're at the top, that's you nicking an equaliser at the end. And, you know, I think we will stay up, but that's more with my heart. I think we beat Newport Saturday. I'm going to Harrogate next Tuesday, and I don't know why, but I think we get something out of that game. And, you know, you'd like to think that we'd get certainly something out of the Swindon game at home. And I was thinking initially that 6 points would be enough to keep us up, but it just seems the way Sutton are going, who knows? I mean, they've all got tough games, but I don't think the Colchester game, what is it, a week next Tuesday, will define our season. That isn't the critical one. I think it starts Saturday, and we desperately need a win. I think everyone's sick of Pack the Park. You know, everyone's sick of it's another big game, because we're only playing big games at the bottom. You know, I think you put a tweet out a couple of weeks back about Wrexham's budget. Well, I think our playing budget was 4.1 million. And you've got to say, we've wasted a lot of that budget. And, you know, for all these, the young lad that called earlier and said that Hirst was the best manager since he's been watching the club. I accept that from him, but he put this squad together and Artel came in and, you know, was left with a majority of the squad. And I think every Town fan at the start of the season was quite optimistic. Well, let's be honest, he's got it bang wrong, because that squad just hasn't been good enough this season.
I don't think you're wrong. And, you know, it pains me to say it because I absolutely love Paul Hurst, but it did feel, you know, not too dissimilar with Ipswich. When he gets a little bit of money, he doesn't necessarily know where to put it. And, you know, we hear rumours here, there and everywhere. And the you know, the suggestions are that, you know, Paul, I keep saying, you know, now Paul was Paul was given options based on data and he said no to them. And he looked in his own way, which you can understand because it has worked in the past. But football moves on and the way this club is wanting to move forward has changed as well. And it's left us with players who it's the league. It's the halftime thing, the league table that came out that said if we finished at halftime, we'd be eighth. And we are where we are. It just says, does it mean that the players aren't fit enough? Does it mean they've got a mental roadblock and they just don't have the ability to see a game out? And I don't know what it is, but, you know, if it's the latter, it's very unlike a Paul Hurst team. But there were so many players we picked up from Accrington or from Morecambe or from relegated clubs who stink of relegation. And whether that's carried on, I don't know. But it's a hell of a stain to have on your record at this club when you've done so well for it.
Yeah, I completely accept that. And when I see tweets about that fans put on blaming the owners, then you sort of think, no, that's not right. But, you know, I think possibly there has been some naivety, you know, from the owners. I think they're very astute and successful businessmen. That can't be questioned. And it can't be questioned that behind the scenes, the club's in a lot better position. But ultimately, a third relegation to the National League in 10 years is just not bad luck, you know. And you know, you ask the questions, will the fans drop off? Well, everyone on here, none of the people on here is going to drop off. But it was so important that after that playoff campaign, that after the FA Cup run, that momentum was kept going. And at the start of this season, stupidly, I thought we had an outside chance of the playoffs. I did not envisage this end to the season. I just genuinely didn't. And we're going to games now, you know. Christ, it's, you know, Barrow. I mean, I know, you know, oh, Barrow's a better side. How? They've got half the attendance.
Yeah, okay,
Pete Wild's a good manager, and I know money doesn't buy you success, but, you know, we're going to fucking Harrogate a week on Tuesday, hoping we get a result from Harrogate. And I mean, I'm not making up with Real Madrid, but these sides should be coming to us, hoping they get a result from us, not the bloody other way around.
This is what happens, though, if you spend, 7 years in the conference, and then in the part, the other sort of 10 years floated around the sort of bottom quarter of League Two. Yeah. Frustrating as it is, this is the way of the world now, isn't it? What you said is absolutely right. Harrogate should be going to us thinking, oh, we're playing Grimsby today. This is a bit of a tough ask. But, and that goes back to that we had the opportunity to kind of overcome that, didn't we? In sort of getting us back to being a league club. And we've kind of, the time will tell if this is a blip or if we're going to this is what we are. I think that conversation can wait till the end of the season, but there certainly is a conversation to be had about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Even, you know, pre-season, we was out in Spain. We had such a good time for those few days, Port Vale game. And then, you know, the opening to the season, everyone was optimistic. And I genuinely, you know, when I see people having a rant and I get it, you know, because that's exactly what this club does to us. It kills us every Saturday. And it literally, some of the performances this season, I can't remember a season actually where we've been beat at home so many times convincingly. And I've seen people walking out the ground. And normally you'd be off your seat and like, what's going on? Now you sort of like, you're almost bloody, well, you are, you're joining them. It's like, you know, you're not going to just give us something. You know, these last six games, it's still in our own hands. It's, you know, it's a big ask, even with our goal difference, you know, not Colchester, but Forest Green, I think, are gone. I just can't see Sutton continuing that. And with our goal difference, it's really an extra point on them. Surely to Christ, we can pull out 6 or 7 points from six games. Not even we can mess this up, surely.
No, but if anybody can, it's us.
Yeah, clip that. That's the start, Pete. That's the start of the podcast theme tune next year. Welcome to the DN35 podcast. Weymouth are our opponents this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, that's it from me, guys. But I don't want to rant on. I just, like everyone, really hope we can do it. I think we can, but I can just, if we don't, the fallout's going to be fucking horrific, and it is, you know. And the owners are going to get it. Probably the manager will get sacked. You know, Danny Rose. You know, to be fair, I'd drag Danny Rose to another club because he doesn't deserve to be playing in the National League. The lad doesn't. You know, from what we've seen of Thompson, he doesn't. And to be brutally honest, on some of the performances this season, some of those players aren't fucking good enough to play in the conference. They should be in the National League North. That has been our problem.
Well, it's like Cartel said to him, apparently, isn't it? You know, he said when he chatted to us that, you know, if you don't put your fingers out, you're going to be milkman, you know. And that's not a slight of milkman. It's a slight on, you know, they get relegated. Who's going to want them? But I think as a fan base...
You've got your example right there in the changing room, haven't you, mate? Look at Sean Pearson. Before he knew it, he was having to deliver to Tesco's because of COVID.
Mm. Well, just from a town point of view, you know, you look at these players, and it is a confidence thing. I'm 100% convinced that this season has been a confidence, especially at the back, and a bit lightweight on that front. I think it's really important that as a fan base, we, for the next six games, we really try and hold off the post-mortem on things, because it won't do us any good. And all we can do as fans is try and get them over the line. You know, we can't put it in the net for them. We can't stop it going in for them. All we can do is just try and support a team that are low on confidence and get them over the line. And then in the end of the pre-season, we can wave goodbye to a lot of them. But we need to get over that line. And as fan base, the only way we can affect that is by trying to give them that confidence.
Are you thinking, I think we can do a lot. I'm saying that everybody needs to bring a football in during a game. So if they're breaking one-on-one, that ball goes on the pitch. You've got to stop the play. I think the club need to do stuff. And, you know, pack the park stuff. I know we all roll our eyes here, but at least it's something. You know, free buses down to... How many away games have we got now between now and the end of the season? We've got loads, haven't we?
Well, I'm not convinced unpack the park might do more good than pack the park, to be honest with you.
That's true. What should we do? Just tell everyone it's a different time. And then just put it on like they did at Leighton Orient when they all went on the pitch and then told them we won't finish the game, and then they did.
Yeah, mate. Look, but the thing with that is, mate, is that, you know, look, there'll be a good crowd Saturday. We'll have pretty much sold out for Harrogate probably next Tuesday. I can't imagine we'll have many left. We'll check bucket loads to crew. You know, if we need a result, it's not the fans that let this club down, but I don't think any of us, and I mean any of us, want to see any repeat of Burton at Crawley on the last day of the season. And you know what I mean? And not that hopefully that would happen, but, you know, it's just the fans have never left this club. That can't be aimed at us, ever.
I did sympathise with the fan that pushed Nick Colgan over, though, I've got to admit. And then there was that one guy who ran from the home...
And when he got pushed over, did he go down in stages?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he actually missed.
3 weeks to get down there.
He tried to get on the ground and he ended up halfway up in the stand. There was also someone that ran from their home end into our head end while the game was going on and just threw himself into the away end.
Yeah. What a shame.
Anyway, Pete's saying that's like he knows who it was.
No.
It was you, wasn't it, Pete?
I couldn't run that far, mate. Now my back would go. But anyway, so I'd be fine. But look, lads, I'll let someone go on now, but that's just my thoughts. So thanks for inviting me on.
Oh, as always, Pete.
Cheers, mate. Look after yourself.
And then there's there's an incredible image from Burton away, right, where they're all kicking off on the pitch, and there is someone there that looks so much like my dad that he was actually questioned by police. See if I can find it. Well, what am I doing? I'm not on the podcast. I can't share the screen, can I?
The actual police report.
No, I've got like the image. There is an image of him in there. Oh, I can't see it. Oh, there he is.
We've got three fish here, mate.
Hello, three fish. How are you?
Hi there, all right. Dave Dixon hiding behind three fish.
You are more than welcome to, Dave. Hiding behind anonymity is a good way of doing it, my friend. Don't you worry about that.
I've just revealed myself. Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on the home form issue, the stage fright, if you like. And David Artell, in one or two of his interviews, has mentioned, you know, we're playing at home, we know what the problem is. And I think after the Barrow game, he was playing down the Bradford game as a big game. And it just pointed to me like he's you know, he fears his players are, you know, mentally scared of playing in front of a big crowd, which I find pretty amazing considering the supposed level these players aspire to play at. But I just wondered what everybody else thought of that and whether anyone else had picked up on it.
I kind of hope it,
yeah, I think
downplayed.
I think I think it's bang on. It's clear what he's trying to say. You just look at the results at home and the results away, and it's just clear to see that, isn't it? And that's sort of why I said what I just said. These players do look devoid of confidence. They look like they do get that, the word you use, stage fright. And I think that's just clear to see from the season. There's a reason we've only lost twice away from home now. And we've lost more than that at home. And I don't think you need to play 3D chess to try and find out why that is. I think it's quite obvious.
Yeah, and I think it makes you right, Mike, about why we need to get behind the lads regardless of performances, and, you know, not get negative sort of openly, if you like. If we're going to have a moan, let's do it here, out the way. You know, while we're in the ground, get behind the boys and hope to do the business. And then the post-mortems can happen after the season's finished. Hopefully,
I mean, don't get me wrong, Dave. I mean, I understand completely where people are, and I get it. And it's not being me overly critical of the fan base or what have you. I get why people like that, but you can just see it with the players. That it affects.
Yeah,
it.
No, I agree.
It shouldn't, but it does.
And I'm fuming at the end of each game, and I mean, Saturday was Monday. Sorry, wasn't too bad because of the fact that we had a bit of a go, and, you know, probably felt a bit unlucky at the end. But other games, I felt furious until I've calmed down a few days later, and I've wanted to, you know, say all sorts of negative things, but. You know, what can you do? It doesn't do any good. You don't know what goes on in the background. And come what may, as we all said, you know, are any of us going to disappear? Probably not. I hope not, anyway. And you know, we'll still be there. And in that way, you know, you've got your opinions. Yeah, it's part of the game to share them. But, you know, if we want to stay up, you know, positivity's got to help to some extent. It's certainly got to be better than negativity. And I say the recriminations can go at the end of the season. And let's hope we're only moaning about why we finished 21st or 22nd and not gone down. That'll be the better of the three. But it's a four-team mini league now, and we need to finish in the top two. That's how I'm trying to think of it. And it's not really where I want to be, but you know, it's all we've got at the minute. Just picking up a point from earlier in the season, we had a discussion about playing out from the back, and I actually think to some extent it wasn't necessarily a problem in its own, other than we seemed to do nothing else but that, and we were doing it on our own goal line when, you know, giving the ball to poor Harvey on his blooming goal line in front of the goal, and I just felt that created the pressure that we didn't need, and on some occasions you could see what playing out from the back was trying to give us, but I just thought we tried to overdo it and didn't have that flexibility. And recently, even since we've changed, and again, I'd be interested to see what everybody else thinks, is we tend to concede not always from the brilliance of others. We give them the ball in the middle of our own half for them to score. and our corners or our forward set pieces always seem to end up with us scampering back down, defending, scrambling, and in nearly every occasion on Saturday, Monday, sorry, it appeared that we were bottom the back foot immediately after being in a good position. So yeah, a few things to throw in there, but like I say, I'm hopeful we'll stay up. But yeah, what are your thoughts on them few bits that I've just mentioned in terms of how we take the defence?
I don't want to go to Brighton anymore.
Personally, I think you're right, mate. There's people that know an awful lot more about football than me that can explain why, but we do seem to turn attacking opportunities into defensive problems quite often, don't we? And in terms of delivery on the ball, I said earlier, I'd like to see, now we've gone to a back five, I'd like to see Glennon get a bit of a run out again. Hopefully the move to a back five would have maybe covered for some of the defensive frailties. And I do maintain that I think he's one of the best deliverers of a ball, particularly a ball in open play, that I've seen in this league. You know, maybe dead ball, not as good. But when he gets on those overlapping runs, he gets some balls into the box. Now we've got two strikers up there. Start of the season, we had one in there, Danny Rose. We've got two strikers there. Just get the ball out to the left. Just see what we can do in terms of getting some decent service into Danny Rose and whoever's playing with him. So maybe an opportunity to ask Glennon now Hume's suspended.
I'd be less worried about bringing him back now that Doug Tharm's there, to be honest. We're marshalling that sort of back 3-5, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is when we're going forward and when we're going backwards. Because I think that was where we were getting a bit bent out of shape with Glennon. I don't think he had the support of the guys on his inside in the defensive bit. And I think we've been better since Tharm's come in. So, you know, that might be something in our hour of need with Hume being suspended.
And I don't think Hume's a bad player. I think he looks like a player that's played at a better level, but is coming back from an injury and is playing a lot of games and a lot of hard defensive games. You know, we've not had any easy games where he's played and been able to coast. Yeah. It's been backs against the wall, everybody trying to keep the ball out. So I don't think he's terrible. I think the red card may do him some good in terms of getting a bit of a rest. But I'd like to see Glennon have a go out there and see what we can do in terms of an attacking outlet out there, because he looks really dangerous when he's out there. And it used to be Issa when he's getting outside and putting that ball in from the dead ball line. So for me, I want to see that on Saturday.
I think as well, I think Hume, he's looked, as you say, reasonable, but in a defence that's scratching around to try and not panic and that turns from attacking to defence real quick, it's a real struggle for someone in that position, isn't it?
Well, it's always difficult for defenders when you've got 20, 30, 35% of the ball. Yeah. You know, it's all about being in position, you're moving about and jockeying and moving side to side. When you've got the ball, you're not running as far, and you're not committing as much. Now, when you haven't got the ball, it's all about your positioning. So I think he's maybe struggled with that a bit.
Yeah, agreed.
Just don't make me go to Bromley anymore.
You're mates with...
Sorry about bloody Bromley.
Mates with the manager now, aren't you?
Yeah, he's busy mates. I wouldn't mind. I would. You know what? I'd love him here. He'd be a right prick to everyone else but us.
He's not going to come here.
No, we're too big for him.
It's also north of Watford Gap, isn't it? So there's no chance he'd come this far.
Don't you mean he's too big for us?
That's Alex's plan, to be fair. Give him a season ticket to Steels and that'll do the trick.
No, what? Oriental Express, Sam. All you can eat.
Oh.
I tell you what, I frequented Steels. There's no way Woodman gets in those pews.
That's very true. I hope Sam doesn't mind me saying this, but obviously Sam worked at the club before and he said, look, the fans can make a big difference. Look at when we survived with Cartel getting shot at Swindon, winning at home against County and then Forest Green Rovers away. The fans need to make noise at home. I've seen how abuse can affect players and, you know, I'm guilty of this one. Matt Green is a massive example of that. So, you know, we do need to try. And I you know, I'm as bad as anybody else for it, but I do feel like we're coming at this from a different mindset that than say Forest Green are and Sutton are, where they're going, yeah, we're going to fight for this. We've still got a chance. We're almost war weary and go, oh my God, here we go again. And you know,
yeah.
we're going at it from going down, not fighting for every point we can. I wonder if that's going to be a difference.
Well, it's like a runner in a race when you're in front and they're catching you behind, you're like, oh shit, they've got to catch me. And all the people behind you got to say is, that's what I've got to catch, run fucking harder, you know, win every ball, score every goal and just catch them, you know. So it's just mentally, it's a different perspective, isn't it, on what you're
and
doing.
Do you think that is, and do you think we're seeing that on the pitch? Because I don't think we are.
Seeing what, sorry?
Seeing that sort of level of fight and fight for every ball and scramble for every ball and run it into the corners, chase every lost ball down. Do you feel like you're seeing that?
I saw it on Saturday.
I'm seeing it more than I did. And I'm not unhappy with the levels of commitment we're getting now. But what I mean in terms of a Sutton or a Forest Green or a Colchester, it's, right, let's fucking dig in and let's catch them. To us, it's like, oh shit, they're catching. It's sort of a different mindset. We're trying to stop ourselves getting in a hole. The other teams are trying to, you know, physically dig themselves out of it. So it's sort of more of a positive mindset, a positive action, isn't it? We're trying not to get in trouble. They're trying to get out.
It's like they've got a "we've got nothing to lose" mentality, and we've got an "everything to lose" mentality.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. That, yeah, I couldn't have thought of that better. So what can we do? Do you think do we do something stupid? Do we do something like, I don't know, from a podcast?
That's not like us, is it? Do something stupid.
Well, how about we, you know, you've got the next home game. When's our next home game then?
Saturday.
So if you take a flag and you hang it up and you take a picture of it and put it on our Twitter feed, if you do that, I'll send you one of the prints we do free. Why don't we do something like that?
Does that count for? Do I qualify? Can I qualify for that?
No.
No.
Yeah, of course you can. Do that, because we've got a load of new ones, haven't we?
Keep me fucking flagged then.
Tell you something, if you bring out that bloody Viking one, Mike, we are off the pod. do you want me to bring the keeper shape one?
No, we don't. No, we do not.
Can I have that as a kind of memorabilia to Hurston?
I'm still trying to get it to Hurst, and I'm waiting for the LMA to come back to me.
Well, I think you've got maybe the makings of a decent-ish shout there, mate. Maybe we should have a chat about that later.
Well, I'm happy to do it, because it doesn't take too much. I just need to send them, you know, or I'll print them and then bring them up, and then you have to come and collect them from me. But, you know, we've got a couple of decent ones. Maybe we do, like, some special edition ones where...
No, you're missing the trick. Get Bruce to stand there with a table and put some computers on it that he could sell, and he can give out these things.
Yeah, that sounds a good idea. So if you...
A knock-off laptop for a flag.
We'll do that then. So if you've got a flag, I want a town flag of some form. You've got to hang it up at Blundell Park at Newport. Take as many as you can, you know, and then take a picture of the one you've put up. And then if you DM me your address and stuff, I'll get you it over. I'll limit it to 100.
£100.
£100. Yeah, that's it. £100. The way postage is, it's probably about 5 flags. But there we go. I think that might do something. It might make it a little bit more interesting. You know, I don't know where you hang them all. No. And I think we need to do something like that. We'll get caught because someone will have lit a fag and one of the flags will go up on fire and stuff.
DN35 in controversy.
Yeah, child hair burnt like Michael Jackson in Pepsi advert. That sort of thing, and then we get caught on it. But I think it's a good idea. Let's do that, and I'll put something out and do something.
Just for your luck, Mike, the first home game you attend for 5 years, you're complicit in burning down the main stand.
Oh, that wouldn't be a bad idea. We'll get it rid of it. Do a Donny job.
Hang on.
Do a Donny job. Do you love the main stand then, Mike?
I mean, not like my child. I mean, I'm fairly fond of it. You know, it's not on the top five. I mean, what in what context?
I don't know. You thought that was a controversial opinion that I don't like the main stand?
I thought it was a controversial opinion to say we should burn it down.
All right, fine. Yeah, no, that's slightly more controversial.
Where did you sit, Alex, when you used to come?
He didn't used to go to games. He's never been.
I beg your pardon.
That's coming from you, Mike. Bloody hell, that's bold.
So my season ticket...
Hey, I can see the sea where I am.
So I think my season ticket is now, in the pontoon, is now Mariner Hoddo's seat. So I
was P126. So P126. Anybody's got that, let me know.
I used to be D80 in the pontoon, and then I used to be... My last season tickets were in F66 in the lower. And Henry was something like E62 or something, 64.
I'm a main stand moaning minute, and as Bruce dubbed me once.
Oh, I'm shocked.
And as Bruce once dubbed me. And I like the main stand. I'd be devastated if my seat was no more, and the kind of the post in view of the pontoon goal and the kind of corner flag of uncertainty disappeared. It's all part of the mystique of Lundell Park.
Corner flag of uncertainty. What's your statement?
I'll tell you something. Everybody's piece we put in last week was a bloody corner of uncertainty, wasn't it?
L what?
L something or other. I never know which one it is. It's near the aisle. Well,
roughly.
Anyway, L roughly. 30, something like that. Anyway, it's...
Right, so forget your flags on Saturday. If you go to L30 in the main stand and take a picture of yourself shouting at Sam, we'll send you...
I get enough of... Don't encourage it. You're inciting violence there, Mike.
I'm not inciting it. I'm asking for it.
What we'll do, though, is... what I'd quite like to do is... I think you should be able to colour your own seat in or get an artist to do something with it. So, you know, like this amazing artist that's done that. Have you been to see it yet, Mike, on the O'Neill's wall?
O'Neill's. Oh, you mean where the old O'Neill's
was?
Yeah,
have you seen that mural yet?
No, I didn't know that's where it was. Yeah, I don't really pay much attention to your tweets, to be fair.
It is there, isn't it? Anyone else got any... Dave, do you know where it is? It is O'Neill's wall, isn't it?
I'll go look tomorrow and I'll let you know.
But that one with the ice creams and stuff, if you haven't seen it yet, Google it because it looks incredible. I mean, can't we get that artist to like draw... You can pay him like 50 quid. And he'll do a picture on your seat and stuff, or you can go in and get your kids to paint it or something. That'd be better than like faded red, wouldn't it?
It'd be better if you could paint or draw something on somebody else's.
That would be
I'm
even
thinking
better.
L30.
Yeah, don't you dare. Don't you dare. God knows what happened to my seat if that happened, if you do that.
Quid, 50 quid. 50 quid to do your own, 100 quid to do somebody else's. And Sam, can I do yours, but I'm only allowed to use one colour?
Tory blue.
No.
How predictable.
I was going to go with yellow hammer and sickle and just do it in the corner of his red seat.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm not giving it anyone.
And every time, you know, like a birthday card, when you open, every time he sits on it, it plays the Russian, like the Soviet Union national anthem.
Oh, you mean like one of those? You mean like one of those birthdays, Manchester United birthday cards that open up, yeah, and they start exactly, saying "Glory, yeah, glory, Manchester United." Not that I've ever received any of those.
How about that, Mike? Every time he sits on it, it sings "Things Can Only Get Better."
just to go back on topic while we're going off on a tangent. If anybody else does want to come up,
like we've only had a few.
Just request to listen. Drop me a message if you don't know how to do it, and come up and tell us what you think, because we're talking about Sam's seat. So,
yeah, I'd like to get...
I mean, if we do go down, we'll have better content than Sam's seat, in fairness.
Right,
but
let's do it again, because, you know, it worked last time. Sam, how many rows down do I go?
7.
Okay, and Mike, 1, 2, 3, or 4?
3.
There we go. Jason... I've just sent it to you. Ted Newton, you were so close, Ted.
Oh, do it, Ted. Do it to Ted.
I'll do Ted as well, shall I?
I miss Ted.
People are trying to leave so that they can't do it. Let's see who's going to... Is any of them going to break? Jack, you're always a good commentator. It'd be good. Same with you as well, Luke. If you want to come on, get your thoughts before we, turn it off. We've been going for about an hour, blooming heck. Chris Evans doesn't do this long on the radio anymore.
Can I charge overtime for this?
No, there we go.
Oh, there he goes. He always thinks of expenses, isn't he?
He is thinking of his expenses, isn't he? What does he want? A new duck house?
Moat, mate, moat.
No, you've already got one. No, neither of them. Disappointing. What else can we do? What else can we do to liven up Blundell Park?
Well, is it who have Sutton got on Saturday? I've forgotten.
Is it Franchise? No, that's last day of the season. Stockport, I think. Is it Stockport?
Someone did a very nice graphic that was nicer than the one I did.
It is. Just let me tell you now. It is. They are at home to Stockport, and Colchester are at home to Wrexham.
So that's the chance we can make it feel a little bit better, is it?
Oh, and Forest Green.
Who have they got after that?
And Forest Green are at home. So we're at Harrogate on Tuesday night, mate.
No, who have Sutton got? I know we've got.
Oh, who have we got? Who have they got?
What's their last ball?
So they've got. So what's that? Stockport? So they've got Stockport at home, Harrogate away on the when we're at Crewe, Crawley at home on the 20th, and then they're at Franchise on the last day of the season.
Lads, it's something that is not likely, but is not impossible.
I know exactly what you're going to say here, and I don't like it already.
They might not get another point.
They will get something from Harrogate.
We're already safe. It's already done.
They will get something from Harrogate or Crawley, I think.
Yeah, Harrogate are a bit. They've been decent, haven't they? But they've been equally shit. They're a bit in and out, aren't they?
Equally, I think if we win on Saturday and then we. And I may well live to regret this, but I think would you a result against Harrogate? I know we keep saying this and it keeps, I'm never getting it, but eventually I'm going to get it right. Would you to have some luck against Harrogate or a result go our way? And a week yesterday on Tuesday, we're going to win at Harrogate and we're going to be all but safe. There you go.
There we go.
It's all sorted.
Safe by Tuesday.
Safe by, effectively safe by Tuesday. I've made a real conscious effort to try and be really positive, otherwise I'm just going to become miserable about the whole situation.
This is positive?
Yes. Have you seen the polling results, Mike? It's got to try and be positive.
Did you see the MRP today, Mike?
No, what did it say?
It said 155.
Oh, that's better. Triple figures. You might even be the opposition.
Do you know there is a very good chance that if we win on Saturday and everybody around us loses or draws, we're pretty much where we were. if on Saturday tea time we're where we were a week ago, before the Easter weekend final game, then I think that's a really good position to be in. That's 4 points with them have three left. I think if we win on Saturday. I'm not going to say it's done, but I think that would be almost home.
You're then looking at having to win one of the last five and draw a couple more, or you're asking Sutton to basically carry on with their form they've had for the last few weeks until the end of the season, which is just not going to happen, is it?
I don't know if anyone else has been doing what I've been doing. Just right when you sat down and out to do, you just start looking up fixtures.
Yeah, I do.
Like 4 or 5 times a day.
Luke, save us. How are you? What do you think is going to happen?
It's all going to be fine, guys. Don't panic. Don't panic.
There we go. Good. Told you. Luke knows.
I can't remember who said it earlier when they sort of unsubscribe a bit, but I'm totally the opposite of looking at fixtures and trying to work out all the connotations, because actually I think I'd probably be somewhere else in my mind if I did that. But I don't know. I'm maybe a bit older than you guys. I'm sort of early mid 40s, and I'm sort of hardwired to think of relegation from the Football League as being like, you know, sporting suicide, I guess. Because I remember, like, when I first got into football, teams weren't automatically relegated. I remember your club, Alex, Aldershot, going out of business and Maidstone going down. And it was always like these absolute basket case clubs that had completely imploded, and you knew you never hear from them again. And that's changed a lot. I think, you know, if we were to go down this season, the National League doesn't look like as tricky a place to be as it was for the last two or three seasons, right? Chesterfield won it at a canter, and there's no one else doing much. And, you know, clubs do come up, you know, two at the moment. Hopefully that'll change to three. And a lot more clubs go down from the Football League now. So I think even if the worst happens, it's going to be all right. I think we can get back out of it. I think three times in a decade is weird and totally annoying and pretty heartbreaking and cruel if you're the supporter of that club. But I think it will happen more and more. And I think that fifth division, semi-pro, lots of money in it, isn't the kind of embarrassing GM Vauxhall Conference experience that you used to fear it could be. So I do think we'll get out of it. I think we've got enough in the tank. I think there's enough in that team. It doesn't feel to me like the last two relegation teams that really, you know, they were just complete disasters at this point in the season. And I think there's just enough.
Well, that was interesting. What happened then? Can we invite people? Invite speakers, Mike. Welcome back, Michael. Welcome back, everybody. I don't know what happened. I'm blaming Sam. There we go. Everybody back. Oh, Luke sounded so good and so confident, and we've cut him off halfway through.
I can't believe you did that.
What did I do?
Did you close Twitter?
I jumped out because I had a message, so I looked
at it. Yeah, you can't do that. Did you go off to the Twitter account?
Yeah, but it was still playing. It did it before.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's what I did on the transfer one and didn't admit that I didn't done that. Ew. You're going to need to do editing now, aren't you?
I am going to have to do editing for the first time in forever. And when we say editing, what we actually mean is me just sticking one recording next to the other bit. So,
for those, it's like with the old VHS, you know,
I feel really bad because Luke sounded so confident and he sounded like an airline pilot. So I was getting confident in return. Just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Sam.
No. Luke was talking quite well. So.
Yeah, and then we cut that, and we didn't like it, so we cut him off.
He's going to take it personal, isn't he?
Yeah.
So we're not going to beat those. We can only do negativity on the podcast allegations, are we? If the first time we get a little bit of positivity, you kind of mysteriously end the podcast.
How convenient.
How convenient. Yeah, it's about I believe it's had a, he got a message about as much as Jake Eastwood's quad injury, frankly.
See if I can invite him back in. I feel really bad.
Yes, I was enjoying listening. I'd started walking back to caravan, so I was enjoying listening to what you were saying.
A couple of people texted me going, I thought you just booted me out, Alex, like you do occasionally, just to kind of keep yourself entertained. That was my first instinct.
It is very tempting to do so. Mike cut us off halfway through the January transfer window Twitter space, so you're not alone.
No. I'm about 5 minutes into it.
Luke, I'm so sorry that I decided to do a North Korean style edit and, you know, redact you live.
I finished, don't worry.
Oh, no. As I was saying, I was feeling more positive because you sound like an airline pilot, which was giving me sort of reassurances that, you know, only BA can.
Oh, right. Yeah. What was I doing, like the sort of the hypnobirthing type voice calming you down?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Well, oh, no, you were somehow making relegation sound palatable. I mean, it was.
Whilst it all went down, I went and looked at the upcoming fixture list and got, I'm sorry, I think we're screwed. I didn't realise how bad it was. I hadn't looked for a week or so. Carry on, chaps. I'll join the relegation one in, when will it be? Sort of late May. I'll see you all for that.
He's got the memo. Negativity only.
He's had some of the boys come round and knock on his door. So you need to change your tone. Look, for us exiles, relegation is fine, isn't it, Mike and Sam? You know, Aldershot, Woking, Dorking, perhaps.
Fine's a word. I don't think it applies here. I mean, Luke's quite right in what he says. It's obviously not something you want, but it's not the end of the world. There'll still be a club. We'll bounce back. Of course we will. But it's far from ideal. There isn't the money floating around in the National League that used to be there, but it still is pretty tough to get out of. And obviously nobody wants to be there. But in terms of previous times we've been in the situation, it has felt like that could be it, you know, under previous ownerships and what have you. You start to wonder, where's the money coming from? Where's the investment? You know, is this going to be it? If the worst happened, I'd have no concerns that we would bounce back. But again, it just shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't be nearly happening either.
Yeah, I'd spin that round, though, Mike, and think, okay, right.
So I'm surprised.
So previous ownerships, it feels like we've changed ownerships. We've improved so much around it. The training grounds, the pitch is loads better. The training ground's a lot better place to go to. We pay players a lot better. They get overnight this. Alex alluded a lot of this at the start. We've changed managers now. We've changed umpteen players, and yet we change all of that, and yet we get relegated again.
He's going back on the wheel, Mike.
It's like, that's the sort
that lasted
of
a long time, that positivity, didn't it, Sam?
It did, yeah, didn't it?
There's a short-term positivity in terms of what because I think we'll stay up. But if we do go down, there's a more existential question to be asked about, is this what we are? Like, we're a yo-yo League Two National League club.
No, I don't buy that. Because, you know, ownership is... Fan base and ownership is the two things that sort of dictate a football club. And I think we've got a great fan base and we've got a good ownership. Obviously, as I said earlier, you don't get relegated by accident. It's not something that just happens. It happens for reasons. But in terms of if the worst was to happen, I would have every confidence that, you know, everybody would rally around. The fans eventually, when a new season starts, would rally around. And, you know, we'd bounce back again. It's just we'd lose all that momentum and all that good work that we did. And the fact that, you know, it'd be the third time in I don't know how long, but it's just... It shouldn't happen. It's almost criminal that it's nearly happening. And there will be a point in the close season, regardless if we stay up or go down, that there will be a post-mortem about it. There needs to be. I'm just hoping it doesn't come to that. But if it did, it's not the end.
One thing would happen, though. If they came up, we would find out if the National League would let us play Scunny on Boxing Day.
They ain't going up.
They're not going up. It'd be funny.
They won't let us play them on a pub in a pub car park.
That's what they've got, isn't it?
That's what they'll be playing next season, isn't it? Well, have they sorted out their ground situation now?
No, they're still like 12 million in debt or something, but it's just in shares.
We'll have fewer games called off next season in the National League, though, with all those cheating pitches. That's another good thing.
I want to clarify what I've said. I'm not saying relegation is acceptable. I'm saying it wouldn't be the end. Just to clarify that.
I've got visions you have to Crawley going, Mike, oh, it's all, everything is fine. There's no issue here.
What's that mean with the dog sat in the room with the fire? This is fine.
Yeah.
I'll remind you of it when we're at Bromley and we're 4-0 down and it's pissing down. And Andy Mike's Woodman
is all right.
And Andy Woodman is twerking in front of us. And I'll be saying, no, Mike said this was fine.
I still keep telling you, I rather hope we are going to Bromley next season because it means we're more likely to be in the league. You seem to associate Bromley with kind of like the sort of nadir of non-leagueness. That's not them.
Really? Do you think it's more likely that Bromley are going to go in the through the playoffs than we are going to go down?
I don't know. I just think kind of saying that Bromley being the kind of worst of the National League is just... It's silly because we're going to be we could be playing them in the league next season.
Scunthorpe could be there, so that's true. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, small clubs.
Exactly. Anybody want to say anything? Luke, have you got anything else to add? And I'll last call out for anyone else who wants to come on. It's only a short bit, but
no, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's nice to hear from you, mate. Anybody else want to come in? And have a chat. That is absolutely fine. I'm just trying to look through, see if there's anybody.
Have you got your no quotas up yet?
My what, sorry?
Your no quotas, yeah.
What no quotas?
Your you know.
Oh, I don't know. It's a shame people pick out your ticks because I didn't know that. Someone actually came back to me earlier, I think Daniel Randall says, have you got a lisp? I think when I put on a nice microphone... On Twitter space, it does pick it up. I sound like Elmer Fudd. There we go. Anybody else? Last opportunity to come and have your say on what is always a fairly, similar podcast. We're unhappy. Mike's been stoic. Sam is...
What's stoic mean? I'm thick.
Strong and, you know, calm. And looking at it from all angles, sort of thing.
Well, I'm not calm. I'm shitting a brick. I'm just trying to look calm.
There you go. Are we done? What's on the agenda tomorrow, Mike, as you do a holiday in Cleethorpes?
Little man's going swimming. Then we're off to soft play to meet a mate and his kids.
Which soft play are you going to?
The one round the corner, whatever it's called. You know, the bowling thing in McDonald's and what have you.
Oh, yeah, Kingdom Castle or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm going there because it's near McDonald's, obviously.
Have you not gone to Taco Bell yet?
No. And every time we drive past, my wife's like, oh, look, there's a Taco Bell. I'm like, yeah, I know.
I've been to Taco Bell once in my life in a pre-match meal before we lost 5-0 at Swindon, so I vowed never to venture back there.
I went boating like yesterday.
You went on the boat?
Well, I didn't go in it. I went and watched other people go in it.
What about Oriental Express? Did you do that? That's a fine restaurant.
I'm trying to convince her. I'm trying to say we need to go there, but
it's the only Chinese that I can think of that does fish fingers, chicken nuggets, and sausages.
Shall I let you into a secret? We did some shopping when we got here, and I've deliberately let the mints go out of date so that we're one night short, so that I can just say, "Oh, we'll just go to Oriental Express."
Oh, there we go. And there's got to be a nicer one. We used to go to the one in Lincoln, the Magic Wok or something. That was lovely. But
Send us a photo of there looking how happy you're looking, Mike, and then we can send it on to Woodman as our kind of come to Cleethorpe bidding. It's
funny you say that, mate, because I put something on Twitter earlier. I moved away from it about 16 years ago, right? And I only lived here for about 10, 11 years. But I don't know why Grimsby and Cleethorpes get such a bad rap. I mean, I brought my wife up from London. She's, you know, she loves the place. Might be because it hasn't been raining, it's been busy and everything's open, but
it's a little drive around.
Yeah, I went around Hockley Clay and Waltham and all that today, going somewhere. And it's a nice place. And stop running it down. You go and live somewhere like London or Yorkshire or Amprom, and you'll soon appreciate how fucking nice this town is.
Aldershot is shut, effectively. It's the similarities between Grimsby and Aldershot are startling. Both have their main industry ripped out, but because Aldershot has Farnborough, Farnham's like Louth, Farnborough's, you know, a bit busier, Camberley's more of a shopping centre sort of place. So Aldershot effectively doesn't have a town centre anymore. It's really weird. It's got a couple of pizza places and stuff.
Well, it's like an IKEA town, and you've got one every 40 miles on that belt in London. You've got no character. But I mean, I tell you what, up at Thorpe Park, I've not said A up as much as I have done this week as I've done in my life.
Oh, have you?
I don't know if anyone's left in Yorkshire.
Are they all up here, are they?
They're all here.
Are there any of them goalkeepers?
I tell you what, if there's any burglars in Yorkshire, now's your week, honestly.
Burglars in Yorkshire.
No, just in Cleethorpes saying how expensive everything is.
How much?
60
grand
per ounce.
How much? How much?
It was £2.77 for a pint to Carlsberg in Wetherspoons just before the Wrexham game. I thought there was an error, given how used I am to sort of £6 plus pints.
Well, there wasn't.
In Central
there wasn't an error. You bought a fucking pint.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, for God's sake. You got it back, didn't you? Stop moaning.
Look, I think we're done then. If nobody else wants to come on. Yeah, we are. We're not doing that last bit that we do in the pod. Where we just chat after everybody's left. Thank you all so much for joining us and rejoining us as well. We'll try and do a couple more of these. I'm serious about the flag thing. As long as Christine doesn't shout at me and say, what are you doing bringing all these flags in? I'm happy to do it. So what I'll do is I'll just double check. And then if you bring your flag in and hang it up at Newport, we want them, you know, over the rafters at the Findus, at the back of the pontoon, you know, hanging them along the front of the sponsor boards. Get a photo of it, send it in to us, we'll, you know, do a little thread on it, and then I'll get you one of these prints out. It'll be A4, not A3. I'm not made of money. I'll try and find an image that I won't sell, and we'll go from there, and hopefully it'll, you know, just make it a little bit more interesting, a little bit more different. Or buy your own flag. You've got a couple of days. You can write GTFC in a marker pen.
Alternatively, if you don't have a flag, you can buy pop material from etsy.co.uk. You missed a chance there, mate. There you go.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, if you want to do you know what? That little print shop is doing all right. It's not got to the grand yet, so I don't have to worry about HMRC, but you know.
Your paper printer?
Yeah, nearly. It's the paper and everything else that goes with it now.
So, can we mortgage your house?
Yeah, basically.
Just so you know, I'm back to the caravan safe for now.
Okay, well, I want a photo of the out-of-date mints. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a great evening. Sam, thank you for jumping on as well. Mike, go and enjoy some food. If you go to Louth, get a Lakin's pasty. And
I've missed Family Fortunes.
Pardon?
I've missed Family Fortunes. Fucking hell.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I'm off down to watch the second half of City versus Aston.
There we go. Have a good evening, everybody. Thank you all so much for joining us, and speak to you soon. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.